Welcome to A to Z Jobs, the podcast that delves into the fascinating world of careers, one profession at a time.
In each episode, we'll deep dive into a specific profession, exploring its history, requirements, challenges, and rewards.
So get ready to expand your horizons, challenge your perceptions, and discover a world of possibilities. I'm Roxy.
And I'm Nate.
And we're excited to host you on this journey.
In this week's episode, you'll meet Karina, who is completing her training as a real estate agent. Sometimes you can feel when it's right to make a change. You'll hear Karina's journey from being an executive assistant, having to make others look good, to now where she's building her own personal brand and a career that she is proud of.
Hi, Karina. Welcome to our podcast.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Oh, brilliant. Thanks for joining us this evening. We'll start with the first question. What do you do for a living?
I work in commercial real estate as an assistant agent, specifically working in the tenant representative department, which everyone is always like, what is that? I don't understand what that is. And the best way that I can explain it is think of a buyer's agent when you're shopping for a house. It's the same, but for commercial spaces. So a tenant comes to us and they're looking for a new office or an industrial site or a block of land. We source it. We negotiate the lease terms or the purchase. It's a brand new role for me. So ask me again what it means in a year and I'll probably have a very different answer.
We'll definitely bring you back in a year to find out. Yeah. The first thing that comes to mind for me is the barefoot investor talking about his investment properties and like where to start. That you've just sort of joined that little connection for me of where would you even look?
Yeah.
And what size company is it? What sort of business?
Over the past few years, it's undergone a lot of changes. And at the moment, it's actually just the two of us, which is very interesting and new for all. Yeah.
And in terms of the daily life, then what does your job look like from a day-to-day basis? Is there a routine or is it a bit more ad hoc?
Honestly, at the moment, it's a bit of a hybrid thing just because when I decided to take this job, I didn't actually intend to become an agent. In fact, my whole life I've been like, I would do that. That's so not me. Here I am. So the past few months since I left my last role to like honestly a couple weeks ago, I've just been picking apart the business, which, has been super interesting. And just finding new ways to improve processes and helping roll out projects that have been dormant for a really, really long time. But in the last couple of months, I've gotten more involved in really the agent side of things. So I, assist in or run inspections typically in the CBD or in Surry Hills or wherever, and work alongside my boss in facilitating the whole leasing process. Because I'm not technically an agent yet, that's more in an administrative capacity or honestly just sitting there and listening to him talk and learning the process. But I am also studying for my real estate license, so doing a bunch of courses and stuff to beef up my knowledge as quickly as I can. And just juggling that at the same time. So, yeah.
Fantastic. And so what's that commitment like? So the study, is that it's like a diploma or it's a degree or what sort of?
That's a great question. A certificate? I don't know. It's like a TAFE situation.
Yeah.
But I think, it's a government program as well, much like an apprentice tradesman. There's like a traineeship program for getting people into real estate. I mean, funnily enough, I'm sure that that's for like people fresh out of high school, but here I am at 30 studying and being a trainee. It's great.
it is an industry that my sister did exactly the same thing at 30. You know, she moved to real estate from being a software engineer. So, you know.
Okay, like, big change. Yep. Yeah.
It's, you know, something I've considered a lot. I think I've been on the phone with a guy at TAFE in Sydney a few times to be like, well, how do where do you even get started in real estate? And I think that's, it is. It's a lot like that trade where you can get the certificate and then there's the New South Wales license and that side of it. It's also really interesting. I found out that it's not just the one avenue as well, right? Because you can go into like property management as well as the real estate side.
There are so many avenues. I mean, it's really early days for me, so I don't really know. It'll take me maybe a year or two to actually get to finish the course. Currently, I'm technically an assistant agent, which is the first 5 units of the course. But, you know, in a couple of years' time, I might take all that real estate knowledge and go move into workplace something or other. I don't know. Like, that, I didn't realize until now that real estate was so much more than like someone selling a house.
There's so much to it. You know, you can go into like surveying and the workplace safety, the workplace analysis, and then you could be working with people like in the film industry, which I always go back to, is that like if you're running a studio, the management of the studio, and then some real estate agents also run that management, those contracts and the health and safety around it. Like a company that I used to work at had a room that wasn't really a room because they didn't have the right contracts for it, and only the real estate agents really knew that. So it's not until we put like a meditation space in there did everybody start talking about it. It's fascinating what you can get. You're just at the very beginning of such an amazing journey.
Yeah, that's it. And I think it's also it's something that can take me no matter where I am in the world. It's even if this is how I kind of rationalized it to myself when I was making the decision, even if I do it, I get my certificate and my life completely changes, I have multiple babies, I stop working, whatever, I can pick it back up down the line. Or if I move overseas, I know something. You know what I mean? It's just one of those skills that I think there's no...
It's very transferable.
Negative. Mm. Yeah. And there's nothing negative to me getting my license. No, I did.
Particularly if there's government funding to help.
Yeah. Thanks, government.
That's brilliant. So what does an actual day look like for you?
It varies. Some days can be purely working on leasing documents. Other days I'm running around the city, going to 10 different building inspections. I think it's probably a hard question to answer just because of how dramatically different every day is. And I love that because honestly, it's kind of what I'm used to. My previous roles, no 2 days look the same. So it's not been a shock for me. It's not been a huge change. It's just another crazy day in my life.
That's great. It's probably a good balance then. So if you're looking for a career that, you know, there's always going to be the admin part, obviously, but then it's also getting out into the field. You've got that client facing focus as well. So it's probably a good a good balance for, you know, the people person that does, you know, a little bit of admin, but then also enjoys that engagement.
Yeah, totally. And that's the part that I love most about it, really, the people. Not the admin. Can't wait till one day I have someone to do it for me. But my admin days are well and truly done.
I know what you mean. When you come from admin, you just never want to see another Outlook calendar ever again or a spreadsheet to put data into. Just leave me alone. That's not me anymore, please.
Yeah, it's like Outlook gives me PTSD.
But also, like, the admin side of it is almost like that core skill you were talking about with recruitment. You know, it's that point that's put you in different places at the right time that's helpful. Yeah. It's that trade that you can kind of lay back on whenever you need to. It's really good grounding for that. So how did you get started in real estate?
Well, my boss is actually also my dad. It's all about who you know. That's right. He has worked in real estate for, I think, almost 40 years, which is a very long time. You know, across America. I was born there. My mum's American, so he worked there for many, many years. And then obviously Australia, where we grew up. And he's kind of that, you know, been there, done that. Wrote a book about, he knows everyone. We walk down the street in the city and it's like, hi. And it's funny because I've never seen the businessman side of him, because, you know, if you don't work with your parents, you don't know what they're like in a professional setting. So it's been really shocking for me, because I'm like, oh, my dad's a big teddy bear. But I'm like, oh, no, he's actually this really well-known, respected big dog in the industry. And it's really cool to have the opportunity to be taught by someone like that, you know, and also to have the kind of relationship, obviously, because I'm his daughter, that I can kind of ask questions, whatever, I can debate things with him without feeling like, you know, I'm fresh out of uni, not a leg to stand on, just want to please whoever I'm working with. It's actually probably a better learning experience to be able to talk things through properly. So he came to me however long ago it was, and said, come and work with me. And it wasn't the first time that we'd had that conversation. We'd spoken about it for many, many years, essentially my whole life. And I just finally said yes. And I think it's one of those things where it's just all about timing. A lot of things in both of our lives had changed, family stuff, you know, good and bad. And I think that all brought us together and like made us make this big decision to start working together. And yeah, I'm really glad that I did.
That's brilliant. That is, you know, it's sometimes a rule not to work with your family, but then in some situations it is so good, because there's none of that awkward first couple of weeks where you're sitting there going, okay, I need to ask this question, but I'm really not sure if it's the right time. They always look busy, you know. There's all of these, like, sitting on the edge of your seat. If you're the polite kind of person who was always too nervous or too quiet, so it would take weeks to go, okay, I'm going to ask these 10 questions. I'm going to ask them this way. Whereas with someone in your family, you can just bounce it off and go, wait, no, hold on. Your answer is wrong. I've got to ask it differently. Wait.
Carry on. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I think it's a really rare experience, so I'm grateful to have such a incredible teacher and mentor, and it just so happens that he's also my dad, you know.
So you mentioned it's not your first job, so can you give us a bit of a snapshot of what the career journey was like to get you to this point where, you know, the experience you'd gained to then make the decision to make this bit of a leap?
It's been a bit of an interesting life for me, because for the past few years prior to this, I was a EA, specifically a C-suite EA, and it was something I just fell into. I think maybe from a personality standpoint, I'm incredibly type A, I'm incredibly organized, I like telling people what to do. Just, it was all of these things that made sense. And, you know, I had been living overseas in London and came back to Sydney, needed a job, saw one advertised, applied for it. And then 5-6 years later, woke up and I was like, oh, okay. So I think, you know, being an EA is one of the most underrated, overlooked roles in any company, and I think that you only learn that if you are friends with the EA at your company. It is an absolutely insane role. It's insane, like it's crazy. And props to people that can just do it as a career, like a lifelong career, because it really does take a particular kind of person. And I mean, it's also about the execs that you're looking after, the relationships that you have with them, of course. But yeah, it's absolutely wild. So on the flip side of that, kind of through all of the good, bad, and ugly, it is also a really niche role in that you get to hear every aspect of a business. And it's a position that only other C-suites or very senior executives find themselves in. So you're not only learning through practice, you know, you're learning through osmosis, because you're sitting in on these meetings and you're hearing these things and you're actually, whether you like it or not, learning how a business operates. So, I mean, that's invaluable, right? People can work their whole lives in a company and not even know 10% of what an EA does about the exact same company. So I think second to that, no one knows how to manage a stakeholder like an EA. It's the bread and butter of an EA. So those two pieces combined, I think, allowed me to build up a really particular skill set, which then allowed me to just move into pretty much any other role, I think, with incredibly transferable skills.
Mm-hmm. Well, most definitely. That stakeholder management, it's going to be with you for life. You're going to...
Yes.
How to manage everyone upwards, backwards, sideways, you'll be across
that's
it.
That's right. Yeah.
And what was that? Was there a pivotal moment or was there a clear, this is my time to leave and this opportunity came up at the same time, or were you actively seeking new opportunities? I always love to hear about the decision process and sort of the way things fall into place.
I mean, I think I always knew that being an EA wasn't a lifelong thing for me, but I didn't know what the other side of that looked like. You know, there are a million things that I think would be fun to do, but whether or not I was actually ever going to do them is a completely different question.
You never know. You still have plenty of time. You're still
That's right. Yeah, you never know. You never know. But I kind of was in that role and think I was good at it, so it's just easier to like keep going, right, than try and face the music of what am I actually going to do with the rest of my life, because this isn't it. And it's not that I didn't like it, it's just I just reached my capacity and I just didn't feel like I could give what needed, you know what I mean.
It gets to a peaking point where you get to a point in your career that you that's it. You know, you've done what you want to, you've been in it, and in some ways you've been in it longer than you really should have because you were comfortable, you understood the role, you understand the process, and you look for similar things because that's what life sort of makes you feel. You want to put yourself in a better spot, whereas standing on the edge and trying a different role altogether, or even, you know, saying yes to your dad, it's a whole different trajectory, it's a whole different way of thinking. And you have to kind of reach that peak in your career of, okay, I've been here for 2 years, I've been here for six, or I've even been here for 6 months and this isn't really what I'm incredibly keen on. I'm good at it and I love it, but it's not what I'm keen on doing right now, which is awesome.
It's a pretty scary tunnel to be looking down, you know, having spent however many years on one career path and then all of a sudden realizing that there's no because being an EA is a bit of a glass ceiling. I'm not going to become the COO, you know, and like, what's the next step after? I mean, I could if I wanted to, but not at, you know, what's the next step? There's no like executive senior EA. Like, it's just like you're either a PA or an EA, and EA is the most senior, and that's it. So I think for me, it wasn't enough. And I didn't feel like I was working for myself anymore. It was just for the success of other people. And I think that realization that outside of, you know, the like the great times and the learning and whatever, outside of the great things that I got from being an EA, ultimately at the end of the day, everything that I was doing was for the success of whatever executive I was looking after. And is that really what I wanted with my life? No. So when my dad came to me, I had, God, timeline is just so bad. But I think it was, I had gone to Japan for Christmas, got engaged, and had come home, and a couple of other family things had happened, and he just sat me down very formally, like invited me out to lunch and had a proper conversation. And I think no matter how many times in the past we had spoken about me working for him, this was the first time that it was almost like he scheduled a meeting with me. Like, I knew he meant business. And having very recently at that time come to the realization that I was at the top of what I could do as an EA, it was just this perfect storm of what am I doing with my life? And then it kind of being not handed to me, but the universe handed it to me, right? That it just so happened that he, according to my mum, had, you know, been debating how to ask me for however many months. Aww. And it's like we were both kind of just on parallel paths looking for the same thing.
It's funny how the universe sometimes just lines everything up. It's just weird. Right. You know, it pushes you in a direction to take that leap. But, you know, for me, it's like, you know, my apartment was coming to an end in Sydney, and like all of these things, that there was 5 or 6 different aspects that I couldn't control. But then went, okay, well, I've got to take the leap. I'm going to do it now. And that's that, you know. And sometimes the universe just gives you that little bit of a push.
Yeah. And it's needed.
One. Yeah.
We need to do a podcast on Roxy and I on our career moments. But that was the same thing for us.
Like,
it was, I had just moved to Hong Kong and all these new experiences, and just was at the same point sort of reevaluating everything. At the same time, Roxy was having a debrief with me saying, all this stuff is happening, but I've got this little idea. And then it was, from there, we, you know, it all lined up. We were both in the same mindset at the same time, and happened to be having a conversation that week. And it's just fascinating how, see, I question, does it line up, or you just, you get to a point
are
where
you're more open-minded.
Your mindset's more open, and you're more open to suggestion.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a bit of column A, a bit of column B, right? I think if my dad had come to me even 6 months ago, I would have said no.
No.
Yeah. I really would have, because I never in a million years saw myself being a corporate girl, you know. Like, I've always worked in creative industries, and so I've gone from baggy jeans and sneakers to a pencil skirt and high heels every day. I never thought that this would be me, but then now that I'm on this side of it, I'm like, oh no, it is.
It was. Yeah.
That was the most disappointing part of the creative industry for me. I wanted to be in the suit. But then when you met me, I'm a baggy t-shirt and sneakers kind of.
But everyone is. You're like, I remember my first day at one of my previous roles, I came to orientation in, this is such a stupid story. I came to orientation in boots that had a little heel, and the looks that I got, it was like I was an alien. And from that day on, I was like, all right, sneakers it is.
I turned up in a full dress and a whole outfit and everything. And yeah, the recruiter at the end went, I'm going to get you to come up for a follow-up interview, but just wear something more comfortable next time.
Crazy.
Like, okay. And then from that point on, yeah.
Well, not the dress. I was wearing a suit. But the worst part was I knew someone at the company and they didn't warn me, dress down for the interview.
Oh, no.
In the middle of summer, I could have been more comfortable.
See, when I used to be a recruitment coordinator, I used to send in the email, we are not a corporate company. You can
That's
wear
good.
Your pajamas
you should
if
do
you
that.
Want to.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. Like, I used to greet people with a shiny pineapple shirt on. So, really. Like. So, it's really early days. But what's one of the favorite things about your new role?
I think just meeting new people. You know, every time I go on an inspection or an event or whatever, I'm meeting people that I in no other world would have ever crossed paths with. And I really enjoy that part of the role. I think maybe what drew me to being an EA and what is currently drawing me to being a real estate agent is just being able to speak to people all day, because I love to have a chat. And if I can get paid to do that, then great.
Definitely. I think we need to send you with some of our cards to find some podcast guests.
Yeah. Recruit podcast recruiter.
Add it to the CV.
Yeah. Do I get a 10% cut, though?
We'll talk about that part.
But it is, it's the best part, the networking, the getting to know people. And I'm sure that, you know, as you keep going in the next couple of years, you'll probably find some fascinating stories and some people with interesting jobs and roles and, you know, and all of that stuff that you're kind of looking under the hood, just like you were in your business as an exec assistant. You were sort of like the fly on the wall sort of situation, and now you get to look under the hood of what other people are doing and how they do it.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know if this is the right word for it, but I'm finding it quite empowering to no longer just be the fly on the wall or no longer be the person behind the other person. It's the first proper job I've really ever had that is just me. I'm just working kind of promoting myself and doing things for me and being Karina versus my EA, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a really good feeling.
It is. Yeah. When you spend years looking after someone and how they run and your whole life is sort of about their mental health, their career, their life, and in some cases their personal life, because you're so involved. And then to come away from it and start another job where you can breathe a bit, it's not almost a 24-hour feeling. You can kind of go, okay, you know, it's not easier, but it feels easier because you're not attached. You've got that wonderful feeling that you can do what you need to do, do what you want to do, and you're not waiting on other people's decisions and opinions, which is...
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And it took me, like, I'd say quite a while to...
You feel like you're
decompress.
Doing something wrong. Yeah.
Oh, my God. All the time. Like, I would ask my dad if it was okay for me to go on a lunch break, and he just did not understand. And I'm like, it's because I come from a world where you always have to be available. Always. It is 24/7. And so to not be so tethered to some communication line was not only shocking, but like quite honestly life-changing, I think, for my mental health and my relationships with the people around me. Just like my ability to be more present in my own life completely changed once I was no longer attached to the hip to somebody else.
You feel like you've got a lot of spare time, that you're missing out on something, you've forgotten something. It takes a long time to get over that feeling. It is so hard.
Yeah.
But it's so good once you do. And the nice feeling is that you don't feel like someone's chasing you as well. So you've got a lot more freedom in your job. You can go on that lunch break. And if that lunch break's a bit longer, so what?
Yeah, literally. But I still, if I'm 5 minutes over an hour, I'm like, oh, God. I'm gonna get back to the office. I don't know if that's just me, being not a rule breaker, or if it's that. I don't know. We'll see.
I'm still the same way. 1 hour on the dot. Even with the baby and her husband trying to extend it out. Not happening. Gotta go back to work. Sorry, guys.
So, still new, obviously, but is there anything that stands out as a negative yet? Have you sort of started to get anything that you don't like about the new career?
Yes. But it probably says more about me than anything else. I think that I struggle with how far behind my peers I am. Because obviously a lot of people enter real estate straight out of high school. So as a 30-year-old coming in with my cohort being 18, I look at people who have been in real estate since they were 18 and I regret not having done it sooner, because I know how advanced I could be in my career at my age now. And so, the feeling of being behind, and I also don't like being bad at things. I don't like not knowing things. And that's probably what I'm struggling with the most.
I saw a quote, I think I sent it to Rox the other day. I'm probably gonna get it wrong, but it was, you're not starting from scratch, you're starting from experience. So yes, these 18-year-olds might have longer sort of in terms of time, but you're going into it, you're starting here, but you've got all that experience behind you, and that stakeholder management and all that transferable skill set you've developed already. So yeah, you're new now. It's going to be a bit awkward, but you're going to catch up and leap in front of a lot of these people.
I hope so.
You will.
You definitely will. You're already worrying about it, and therefore working harder than an 18-year-old would. You've got the core value puzzle, which I keep talking about, which is you've set up and understood what you want in life at a point where, when you turn 30, it feels like a complete and utter rite of passage. I'm 31 now, but it feels like you sort of sit down and you look at everyone around you, what they've done, how they've done it, if it's any good, and you feel like you've wasted so much time, but you really haven't. We interviewed a guy the other day who was talking about his last career and how he's planning for his last career. That's his last 10 years of working. So from 55 to 65, he wants to be a psychologist. So he's doing the training for that in his 40s. And he's thinking about it the other way around. And it's just such a wonderful way of thinking. You know, you have this wonderful background of communicating and also managing probably some of the hardest people in the world, with people who are EAs, and then going into real estate with someone who's got 40 years of experience, who's so eager for you to learn, and you're already pointing out what your gaps, your skill gaps are, what the puzzle piece is that's missing in your core values. And I think you're going to do brilliantly if you're already working that out and moving forward. And everybody that we talk to who've changed their careers at 30 or even 40 have moved so much quicker than the people we've talked to in 18 and 22.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I do understand that. But I think that it's, all part of that imposter syndrome. If I'm in a room with other 30-year-olds and they're at director level and I'm an assistant agent, it is hard. It's a hard pill to swallow. And honestly, maybe it's more about pride than anything else. Like, maybe it's more just my ego's hurt that they're more senior than me. And But I hear what you're saying. It is an advantage I have that I've already worked in the professional world for X amount of years and gained skills.
Yeah.
Next step, CEO.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the target.
I do exactly the same thing in the film world because I've worked in admin roles in the film role, but I go to networking events and I meet up with these producers who are producing their indie independent movies, and I talk about my wall a lot where I've got a giant slasher movie that I'm trying to produce. And, you know, it's a massive imposter syndrome. And I used to sit in those networking events or those meetings with people who are younger than me and who have achieved all of this stuff, and it's only recently that I've actually gone into those events and gone, it doesn't matter what they've done, I'm trying to kick this thing off the ground, so I'm actually going to talk to them about how they did what they did and put more of the focus on them so that they don't kind of reflect on me and what my project is and what's missing.
And
the more focus I've put on them, the more they've actually reached out to me to support my project in the last couple of months and been like, well, how can I help you? I found this location. And this is after 6 years of doing this and going to these networking events and feeling like a complete and utter imposter, to finally go, okay, I've switched the way of thinking. I'm actually just going to be like, I'm networking with you. You have these years of experience. I'm going to collect them. How do I get to know you? Let's go for a coffee. Let's break down this negative feeling that I have, that I actually in my own mind made up. Like the women that I talk to, they're like, no, your idea's been so good. We're just waiting to see the product. And I'm like, oh, I thought you didn't think I could do it. it's a really, really hard pill to swallow, I promise you. But it's, yeah. And we're definitely going to interview in a year's time, see how you're going.
Yeah.
Our next question is advice about getting started. So what steps have you kind of taken to start and kick off your real estate industry?
I guess my main piece of advice probably it's not specific to real estate. It's more just if you are sitting there thinking, what am I doing with my life? And an opportunity comes your way, even if it's something that you never thought you'd do, that you should just say yes to it. I wish that someone had told me that a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago. I wish that someone had pushed me when they were listening to me complain about not liking my job. I wish that I had had, yeah, I don't know. Mm. I wish I had had kind of that force. And I think, you know, particularly switching jobs when you're at the stage of life where it's all about getting married and buying a house and having babies, you know, particularly for women, like we have to consider children and the timing around that and how that will affect our career. And so when I was in such turmoil about what to do and taking all of those factors into consideration, I wish that someone had just told me, it's fine, just, you know, hold your breath, jump through the fire, everything will turn out fine. So I don't know if that really answers the question.
No, it completely, but, yeah, it is. It's that, yes, you know, it's the understanding that what you're doing right now is the biggest building block that you can go to. If you're doing a good job in your career and you leave that job in a polite and nice manner, there's always something to fall back on, and therefore say yes, move forward. And then on the other side of it, you can't plan when you have the kid. COVID comes along and ruins your wedding. Yeah. I could talk to you about this for like 5 years. Go and live your life. Pray the chances.
Yeah.
I had a manager once tell me, actually it was quite recently, saying you should look for, if you're sitting on the fence for something, look at what the change is. And if you can do 70% of it, then it should automatically be a yes. Because the rest of it you can learn and jump into. So if you're sitting on the fence and you think, yeah, I've 70% got this, the chances are you should probably make the jump, or take on that task. Like, it wasn't a career change conversation. It was just more like a build your portfolio of skills. Look at what's happening in the job around you. And if there's another job that's right next to yours and you can do 70%, put your hand up. Chances are you're gonna have a good shot at it.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you on the, I just wish someone would have pushed me off the fence.
It's scary. The fence is scary.
The fence is really scary. But sometimes all it takes is someone who's been in that position before saying to you, you know what, I did it. I was in a similar circumstance and look at how happy, healthy, successful, whatever their goal is.
It's that validation. Sometimes like you asking the question, you already know the answer. You know you should be doing it. But you're just looking for that little bit of validation just to make it that leap a little bit easier.
That's right.
Yeah. And the understanding, because, you know, as a woman at a certain age, there are so many things pulling you in different angles, different areas, and you just feel like you're running out of time, and you're not in any way, shape or form or any step. You've got plenty of time for all of it. So it's just there's a lot of things to think about, a lot of steps to move forward. And I think just being that yes person from now on, there will be no more fences.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
So you've already had a bit of a chat to us about your education. So you're doing the training through the government program. Is there any other education you've done or anything you've read or seen that's helped you on this career journey that you think's worth highlighting?
Specific to what I'm doing now, not really. As I said earlier, it's kind of like no amount of studying in the world could have prepared me for no amount of studying in the world could help me build the people skills that I was able to build. I am a firm believer of learning on the job or learning through the task, because, you know, writing an essay about something is very different to actually doing it. So I think it's more the school of life that taught me well versus a course.
Getting in there. Yeah. Get in there and get some experience and learn where you're.
That's right.
Learn where the strengths are. And obviously you loved that engagement, which got you on that journey with the people engagement. So that's fantastic.
Yeah.
You're leading on those core value puzzles. So our last question is there a quote that inspires you or keeps you going?
You know, I am not typically one for inspirational quotes. However, this is a well-timed question because right before I resigned from my last role, I had, so lame, but I had seen it on Instagram, and it was the old proverb of the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago, the second best time is now. And it spoke to my core. Again, very out of character. Like normally I would be like, roll my eyes and scroll past. But it's something I think about every single day and speaks so much to the decisions that I've made. And it was just one of those weird, I'm sure that my brain was seeking to see things like that right. But at the time I was like, oh, it's a sign. I'm doing it. It's all about the whole, there's no better time than the present to make that change or to take that leap or to like learn that new skill. Ironically, of course, it took me many, many years to learn this lesson. But I feel like in my old age, I will bestow that quote upon the youth and say, don't do as I did. Plant your tree now. Don't wait 20 years.
I love it. I really love that. It's very similar. One of my other favorite quotes is very similar. It's from 6 months from today, you will wish you had started. So you should start today, because in 6 months' time, you're going to regret not starting it.
Yep. It's so true, though. It's so true. And it's I'm annoyed at myself for not having done this sooner. I mean, I know everything happens for a reason and all that, but I just want to, like, scream it from the rooftops that if you have this big thing that you need to change, just change it.
Plant your tree. Just go and plant your tree right now.
Plant your tree. Get up and plant your tree.
You better have a tree. We need to get you one. Yeah. To keep reminding you every day.
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah. Although, I tried to grow it. Have you ever tried to grow an avocado from a seed? It's just...
No. Can you do... I mean, obviously, you can do that.
Yes, you can. You put little sticks in and a little bowl of water and all this stuff that I could spend 20 minutes explaining. One worked, one didn't work, and then somehow my husband killed it, but...
Wouldn't it take a really long time to grow? I mean, I guess that's all in the proverb, isn't it?
Yeah, so an avocado tree takes 7 years to fruit.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Whereas a pineapple plant takes a year and they topple over. But yeah, I promise you I could talk to you about this for hours.
We have another podcast about plants. planting with Roxy.
The proverbs of plants, possums and chilies. But yeah, is there anything else that that you've learned in the last couple of weeks in changing your career that you might want to pass on?
I mean, outside of my decree of change your life so that you're on a path that makes you happy, not really. I feel like it's something that so many people say all the time. I've heard it a million times in my life, but it only works if you're open to hearing it, really. You know, you can sit there and complain for years and years and years that you hate where your life is, career, whatever aspect of it, but you'll only start listening to that advice when you're actually open to it. So yeah, just make that change, make yourself happy, make yourself proud.
Yeah,
start that life. I sound like an inspirational speaker, I promise.
No.
That's your next career on the horizon. You can start working on your...
Next minute I'll be like doing TED Talks about...
Trees.
I don't know what. Trees. Yeah.
Also, I think it's also worth noting, there's a lot of people that they say they're stuck. They say they don't know what they want to do, so they just keep doing the same thing. And my answer to that is there's tools out there. There's exercises out there. There's journaling. Like, okay, might seem a bit lame, but journaling is one of the tools you can use to really unlock what you're looking for. And I think it's difficult, but nobody should feel they're stuck in something. If you're unhappy, you need to just talk to someone and find these tools. It's out there. You just need to be aware of it. And without that process, you can't plant your tree if you don't know what you want to plant.
But also understand,
really tied it in,
But also understanding that what you're doing next would be incredibly exciting and new and interesting, and what you're doing right now might be, comfortable and easy, or there are aspects of it that you're just dealing with or getting over, or there are aspects that you're holding on to, there are some fun parts of that industry that you're involved in and you never really want to let go of. And there's a best of both worlds, there's the world where you still are friends with the people you work with and you can still get involved with the things that you do, and then you can also move on to that new adventure, try something different, and although it's scary, it's exciting. And to just try and build that fire a bit. Okay, well, thank you very much for everything tonight and taking up your time to be on our podcast. I love your journey, and I definitely want to bring you back in a year to find out where you got to.
I'll be there. Just call my EA to put it in. She'll diarize it.
You've been listening to Roxy and Nate. Thanks for tuning in to A to Z Jobs. And always remember, it's your career and it's up to you to shape it. So dream big, make bold moves, stay curious, and keep exploring. Check out our website at thecareerchangecoaches.com for more resources, tools, and upcoming training.
Thank you for joining us on this journey. Don't forget to subscribe and hit that notification bell so you never miss an episode of A to Z Jobs. Remember, your dream career could be just one episode away.